All right, here we go. A little more bonus content here on Patreon for 83 weeks with Eric Bischoff. And this is a topic that I'm not sure I thought we would ever cover, but you guys pick what we cover, and here we are. Our man Jeff Vernetti wants us to talk about Jesse the Body Ventura in WCW. And there's been lots of rumor and innuendo over the years that you perceive Jesse to be lazy and fired him. What really happened? I guess start at the beginning when you first met Jesse in WCW, how that all came to be and what your working relationship was like, and then how it came to an end.
You know, again, as we've seemed to touch on so often, you know, I first became aware of Jesse in the AWA. Jesse was, you know, in the territory system and worked primarily though in Minneapolis. So he was one of the, and I love Jesse as a character. He was great. I absolutely loved him. That's how I first became aware of him. In terms of WCW, he was actually hired before I became the executive producer. I can't remember who hired him, to be honest. It might've been Kip Fry. I just can't remember. But he was hired, and it was a big deal. And I was excited, you know, again, because of my relationship with Jesse or my awareness. I didn't have a relationship in AWA, but my awareness of him is like, oh, wow, he's coming in. Obviously, Jesse had made a big name for himself in the WWF. So that was a really big acquisition for WCW. And I remember being, because I was still, you know, third string, fourth string announcer at the time. I remember being a little envious of Tony, because Tony got to work with Jesse, you know, more than Ross did. I don't think Ross and Jesse got along all that well from what I recall, but Tony and Jesse did. I remember thinking, oh man, I wish I had a chance to work with Jesse, but it just wasn't set up that way. And I got along with Jesse when he first got to WCW because I, you know, just the respect I had for him, even Minneapolis guy. I was a Minneapolis guy. We had a lot of mutual friends, you know, same people. We knew a lot of the same people and worked with a lot of the same people just at different times, you know, in our respective careers. So I got along with Jesse great. You know, after there were times when, you know, we'd wrap up a shoot and, you know, Jesse and I go out and grab a couple beers or a bite to eat and hang out and talk about softball in Minnesota, you know, and all kinds of non-wrestling related stuff. So we get along great. Once, you know, my role changed, immediately there was no real issues between Jesse and I. Jesse, you know, Jesse had the kind of gig where, you know, he'd fly in, do a couple shows, fly home. He was never around for more than a day or two at a time. So he'd just fly in, do his deal, fly out. So, you know, didn't really interface a ton. It wasn't until really we hired Hulk Hogan. That was like the beginning of the Great Divide. Jesse was not happy about it. You know, Jesse and Hulk had history going back to the WWF. I've heard both sides of the story. You know, Jesse's side of the story is, you know, Jesse was trying to unionize, trying to get all the talent in WWF to, you know, band together and form, you know, force Vince to, you know, form a union. And, you know, Hulk, according to Jesse, stooged that off to Vince. And from that point forward, you know, Jesse hated Hulk. And I got an earful of that before we even hired Hulk. I would get an earful of that on a weekly basis. You know, if you've ever been around anybody that tells the same story over and over and over again, you know, because they tell it like it's the first time they've ever told it. You know, that's how Jesse was whenever he told the, you know, Hulk Hogan stooged me out to McMahon, you know. And once we brought Hulk in and it was obvious that I was instrumental in that, that's when my relationship with Jesse started. It just got frosty. You know, it was like he showed up one day and, you know, called me names and, you know, vowed never to work with me again and, you know, chewed me out or anything like that. It just got frosty, you know, uncomfortable. Like, you know, you walk into a room and you normally make eye contact with and joke around a little bit, slap him on the back, say, hey, Jesse, let's get to work. You know, all of a sudden now it's very aloof and standoffish and no eye contact. That kind of almost childish shit. And it got progressively worse over time. You know, it got to the point where Jesse would go off on one of his anti-Hogan rants and he would do it in front of production people. He would do it in front of staff that shouldn't be hearing that kind of conversation. You know, one talent talking about another talent. It was just inappropriate. So it started to escalate over time until we got to Disney MGM Studios. And, you know, I have a ton of respect for Jesse Ventura. He was a talented, talented guy. He was a cutting edge personality in many respects. He took superstar Billy Graham and put a current edge on it. You know, he was a cool dude and he was good at what he did. But at Disney, he was in typically one of his bitchy moods because, you know, Hulk was heavily involved at that point. And, you know, Jesse had a tendency to, and the only way I can describe it is pout. You know what I mean? He just, didn't really want to socialize, didn't engage much, did what he had to do, and then went and hid in a room and didn't want to be bothered by anybody, that kind of thing. And we were shut down in between shows. We'd shoot like 6, 7, 8 shows a day. I don't remember how many shows a day we would shoot. And we'd change the audiences over. So we had fresh audience every time. So in between, you know, during an audience changeover, we had a schedule posted everywhere. Couldn't walk around the building without seeing the schedule. And we were supposed to start a show. We had loaded in a fresh audience. Our production crew was there. Everybody was on the time clock. You know, it's expensive shooting television. It's not, you know, it's not as bad as, you know, a commercial construction site, but it's damn close. And I've got people standing around and we can't find Jesse. It's like, what the hell? You know, guy's a pro. Where are you? You know, we're all here. The crowd is here. The talent's waiting. You know, cameras are rolling. Everybody's in place. Where's Jesse? We literally had to go on a Where's Fucking Waldo looking for Jesse Ventura. And I found him in an adjacent soundstage, not even the same soundstage we were in. There was an adjacent soundstage that was connected by a shared green room. And I walked into the green room of the soundstage. All the lights are off. There's nobody. It was a vacant soundstage. There was no production going on inside of it. And I'm looking around the soundstage and I stumble into this adjacent green room and I look over and there's Jesse Ventura sleeping on a cot. And he looked like a wino. What little hair he had. And I don't mean to, I'm busting his balls and I don't mean to do that. But his hair, he was all disheveled looking, looked kind of like a Nick Nolte mugshot. You know, he had like 3 days growth of beard on his face and just kind of gnarly looking. And he was sleeping, you know. Nobody looks good when they wake up from a nap. And I went, hey, Jesse. And he looked at me and like shook his head. You know, he was as surprised to see me as I was to see him laying on a cot, sleeping on a cot. And at that point, I just went, you know what? This isn't right. This isn't working anymore. The chemistry's not there. But I regret it. You know, I wish it wouldn't have turned out the way that it did. Because like I said, there's a lot of things I really dig about Jesse. I know he hates my guts. It is what it is. Don't care. It's not going to change my life. It's just unfortunate. But that's what happened.
What was up with Jesse rocking back and forth during commentary?
You know, it's just a nervous, you know, twitch. I've got a cousin that does that same thing. Did it really bad when he was a kid. It's just a nervous switch. I don't think he even knows he's doing it. I think when he gets excited, you know, probably, I don't know if he drinks coffee or whatever he drinks, but, you know, I know when I get excited, I pace. You know, if you ever see me, you know, I'm getting better at it now, but one of the challenges that you and I have had with this podcast is the quality of my audio. And that's because I can't sit and talk. I've got to be up moving around. You should see me when I'm on an intense business phone call. It looks like I'm at a fucking track meet. You know, I'm wearing holes in a wood floor, you know, pacing and walking in circles. And I think Jesse's, you know, thing was he just kind of rocked back and forth. But like I said, I don't think he was even aware he was doing it. You almost had to kind of buzz him.
What's your favorite Jesse memory from working with him in WCW?
You know, I don't really have a favorite memory of Jesse. You know, he was the kind of talent. He was so in and out. I mean, he literally would show up in the morning, within an hour he'd be in makeup, 20 minutes later he's sitting in front of the camera. As soon as the work's done, he's on his way to the airport. So there wasn't an opportunity. You know, I went out to dinner with him, you know, a few times, stopped in the Gold Club once with him, you know, hung out for an hour or so. You know, I'd take him to the airport occasionally, you know, when he needed a ride. But that was all like really mildly superficial shit. You know, we never hung out. There was never any big, you know, he didn't rib anybody. He was kind of isolated. You know, he didn't really hang out with talent much at all that I can remember even. So there not a lot of stories, really. It's pretty boring.
Do you think Jesse added to the WCW product?
Oh, of course he did. Especially when he came in. That was the first really big, you know, relatively recent acquisition, if you will, from the WWF. You know, Jesse hadn't been gone all that long from the WWF when he came into WCW. So that was, you know, that was a big deal. I remember, you know, everybody was excited. You know, Sharon Sadello was so excited. Sharon was, at that time, you know, she was very involved with DirecTV, you know, our pay-per-view provider. She was, her and Mike Weber both. I think Mike actually reported to her at the time. And so, you know, Sharon was really excited because in her mind, it was going to give her leverage in negotiating deals and doing deals with, you know, pay-per-view distributors and potential sponsors and things like that. So she was genuinely enthusiastic about it. And so was a lot of other people. You know, it was a big move for us at that time. And he did a great job for us in the beginning. Until he got pissy about Hogan, he was great.
Anything else you want to mention about Jesse the Body Ventura before we put a bow on this one?
No, I think we've covered it. You know, I didn't work with him in AWA. I heard, you know, stories about, you know, things that he did and didn't do when he was there, but I didn't see any of it firsthand, so I don't want to repeat it. You know, that was my only, you know, my exposure to him was as a fan, you know, watching on television until I had a chance to work with him in WCW, and we just covered all that.
Plus, fast forward to when he wins the governorship of Minnesota, he, not too terribly long after that, finds himself doing a pay-per-view appearance with the WWE. Did it ever cross your mind to try to do something with him to capitalize on that story at the time?
No, you know, I knew I'd burn the bridge with, you know, I mean, you know how I was back then. I was a pretty mouthy little fuck. So, I mean, I was so excited when he got elected governor, so I could go around and tell everybody that I fired a governor.
You know, oh, Jesus Christ.
No, I did. That was like a big deal. I would be doing interviews. I would, you know, I'd take shots at Jesse all the time. You know, I bragged about it. I think, in fact, I think there's a chapter in my book that, you know, somehow titled, I Fired the Governor. I mean, I was proud of it. Not many people could say that.
Well, hopefully you guys aren't firing us. We appreciate your support here on Patreon. I'm sorry this wasn't a longer topic, but there's only so much meat on the bone for Jesse Ventura. But we're going to continue to bring this bonus content here. Hopefully you're digging what we're doing. Drop some comments below here, this post, of what you'd like to see next month for some bonus content. And the rumor and innuendo is that Eric and I are going to be together in St. Louis, and we may have an opportunity to brainstorm some fun stuff there in February. I appreciate all your support as always. Throw us a follow on Twitter. He is at @ebischoff. I am at Hey, it's Conrad. And we are out of time for Jesse the Body. Thanks again for all your support of 83 weeks on Patreon.